Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of this season of MBAs Unplugged. I'm Dave McGarry.
And I'm Hillary Clark.
And today we are talking with our friend and the class of 2023, a key class of 2023 personality, Owen Ritter.
Owen is a New York City native. He's a double Trojan. He studied political science and econ with a minor in the music industry in undergrad. He's, you know, just a lover of music. He's worked in the industry since he was 16. All-around cool guy, Owen, welcome to the pod.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
So I just want to start things out. New York City, L.A., go.
Good opening.
I don't like answering that question, but I do get it a lot. You know, New York will always be home.
But you have no plans to move back
there. I have no plans to move back in the near future. I do go back a lot to see my parents. But yeah, I'm in LA for the foreseeable future. I do love it here.
I really thought you were about to be like New York or nowhere, but wow, color me surprised.
I mean, look, in my heart, it'll always be New York or nowhere. But I do live here, and there's many things keeping me here. So
he's a progressive.
That's how it is.
Sure. We love that.
He's embracing.
Yeah,
his
I'm
reality.
A lover, not a fighter. You know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
That's what they say about those in LA. I'm a convert as well. I'm staying in LA.
Honestly, I might have to go to New York just to
Okay, so Owen, you are what we've established are one of the class personalities. You know what's happening. You know the scene, and you know MBAs are always doing trips. And I think that's something. The social aspect of the MBA is something we haven't really discussed on the podcast, but it is a huge part of the program. And this weekend, we are going to Vegas. So
yes, we are.
I hate to say it, you are Mr. Vegas in my eyes. How do you have...
Your eyes on those of many others, unfortunately.
Okay, so what are like the go-to, or what are the things you have to do when you're going to Vegas with your friends? Maybe not like seeing shows,
so,
you know, none of that.
Yeah, so I always tell people there's like many ways to do Vegas, right? It really is, I think, the entertainment capital of the world in so many ways. I think when you go in a big group of people, it's always fun to go to the clubs. I'm more of a day club guy than a nightclub guy. You know, I love Encore Beach. Tao Beach is cool. I went to the one at Mandalay Bay, Daylight. I went there in college. That place was all right. Wet Republic's a classic, of course.
Okay. Where do you avoid in terms of day clubs?
I don't like Marquee Day Club.
Okay.
EBC, as much as I love it, can get really, really crowded, and so can Wet Republic. So can all of them, to be honest. I like to try to avoid crowds just because I don't think it's that fun to be shoulder to shoulder with people for many, many hours in the hot sun, because it does get really hot there. And when you're around a couple thousand sweaty people who are also highly intoxicated, it gets pretty hot.
I gotta know, for the day clubs, obviously they have a pool. Are you getting in the pool? Are you splashing?
Oh, you gotta get in the pool, Amen. Man. Yes. Gotta get in the pool.
See, I didn't think I was going to be venturing into the shared water. You know, but that's just me.
You know, as long as you're careful, they put so much chlorine in there. Right. It just there's not much that can survive in the way of what you're probably imagining.
Sure.
Yeah, you gotta take a dip. You know, you gotta take a dip.
So switching gears now, since you are Mr. Vegas in the eyes of many, how do you get connections at these places? Or is it all through the tables?
In my case, I've just gone a lot, you know, and it's the kind of town where cash is king, and if you're willing to spend money, you can have an amazing time. There's ways to do it inexpensively,
and that's what we want to know.
Yeah, so it's all about doing your research, and again, I've been there many times, and I've had a lot of experience there, so I kind of know where to look, but, you know, there's always somebody who will give you a deal on something. It also helps to understand the business that you're interacting with, right? Like, the margins on many of the things that you spend money on in Vegas are massive, right? So I worked in the food and beverage industry for a little bit, so I understand beverage margins are crazy. So, like, obviously, you go to a club, you're spending $800 on a bottle of liquor that probably cost them 20, right? So you can get a deal on something like that. Something like a party bus, right? That's a rental business. So the upfront capital is pretty high because you're either buying or leasing a fleet of buses or vans. But then after that, your variable cost is basically just paying a driver. So like it's usually possible to negotiate stuff like that down. Hotel rooms, they give away for free regularly.
But so, you have to gamble.
Yes, you do. But again, if you know somebody, like it's not that hard. And even something as simple as like if you're checking in and you book the cheapest room, slip the check-in person $20 with your ID.
Wow. There you go. Yeah. I love this.
This is a good scoop.
No, this is good scoop.
Because those people have a ton of discretion, and, like, they know everything that's available. Obviously, if you're checking into a sold-out hotel, there's not much they can do. But, you know, if you want a room on a higher floor, if you want a room with a better view, if you want a slight, you know, want to upgrade to a junior suite or whatever, they you can usually just do that with no problem.
In terms of hotels, where are we staying? Where is the, you know, the royal we? Where are we not staying? Circus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, look, so everything on the strip for the most part is pretty nice. You know, there's obviously, there's a range. There's really nice. There's not that nice. But everything is acceptable, right? And the thing about hotels in Vegas is there's such a massive, like I think there's like 300,000 hotel rooms in Vegas, right? And most weekends they're full.
Right.
But it also means that pricing has to be pretty competitive unless you're going for the really, really high-end stuff. So nothing that you get pricing and additionally the hard product. So, like, if one hotel is really, really bad, then no one's going to want to stay there because there's so many other options, right? So that's kind of brought the quality up in the last 20 or so years.
It's just supply and demand economics.
Exactly.
Really, yeah.
No, honestly, as an MBA student, I think the casino and hospitality industry is so fascinating as a business case because especially gambling, it's an infallible business model. Like as long as there's people coming in the door and playing, they're making money. And it's just, it's math. Like you can't argue with math. And the people who go in are either like me and enjoy playing the games more than they enjoy having the money, or they're really stupid and think they can win. So.
Yeah. I actually enjoy the money more than the game. So
then I would stay as far away from the casino as possible, Hillary.
Yeah. You can't win if you don't play.
Sure.
So think about the money upside.
You know what I love about a casino floor, though, is that it is the Wild West. People can still smoke indoors. That's true American freedom in my eyes. They have so much oxygen in there. You'll see all walks of life. I love being an observer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This actually gives me a good next question for you. And obviously, I mean, I would love to, A, get your sense of where the table's hot in general, where do you go to gamble. But B, I mean, as Hillary just said, there are some characters on the casino floor. Who is, like, the most interesting person you've either witnessed or, like, engaged with that's also just been out there hitting the tables with you?
Well, I will say my favorite people to talk to in Vegas are the table dealers because they always have crazy stories. They've always dealt to somebody. You know, they see everything. And they're, you know, dealers in the beginning of the career, generally they're working the graveyard shift. Or the swing shifts, like they're there from 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. and that's when you really see the disgusting underbelly of it all. So those people always have some great stories. I saw Michael J. Fox playing blackjack a couple trips ago. I've seen Future in the casino. I played dice with Quavo and Offset a couple years ago, like right before the pandemic. I saw Trevor Lawrence in the casino. I've seen
the Great Equalizer.
Yeah, seriously.
Have you ever been back? Are there back rooms for, like, if you're hot, you know, like
there's private gaming rooms in most of the casinos.
But you have to spend like so much money.
Yeah, that's like if you're a real whale, you know, you're playing five figures a hand and you just don't want to be in public. And then actually at the at some casinos they have like an upper floor casino that's like, you know, invite only, and it's like there's a cool view. There's a couple of them in Vegas. One of the most notable ones is in South Florida at the Hard Rock Hollywood, and they've got like multiple, you know, it's like the 27th floor and the 35th floor and like one other floor. They just have a bunch of rooms that they've combined into a high limit casino. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I've never actually seen one of those because I don't play those limits, but
right. Just yeah. quick one here. How many times have you been to Vegas? You had to guess.
I've lost count. I think it's about 20.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Serious problem.
That is pretty good. How many times have you been to the Taco Bell Cantina in Las Vegas?
Several. I went there for my birthday in 2021.
I should have done that for my birthday. Instead, I'm going to a New York knockoff.
Yeah, well, going to an actual restaurant is, you know, also good. But you can always bang bang and go to Taco Bell after.
It's yeah, true. I do love that.
It actually the cantina on the Strip you can rent out as like an event space.
I saw somebody get gorgeous. Married last time I was at the Taco Bell cantina.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Or maybe it was their reception, but for sure, bridal gown.
Who in the NBA is getting married this weekend?
I mean.
At the Taco Bell cantina. The Taco Bell
cantina has my heart already.
I have a few early picks.
That's for another pod.
Amen. Exactly. Yeah. That's for the after the reflection pod.
Yes. So I will say we've covered Vegas. I don't have any Vegas questions left.
I have about 100 more, but I think we should move on.
I do want to know and recognize, right, the whole kind of, I guess, upside to the NBA is really you kind of get 2 years to do a lot with mm-hmm. and whatever you want. So I'm curious, Owen, from your perspective, you know, as you look back and as you brace to potentially enter the real world, what are some of the trips that you took that you loved? And then what are the ones that you didn't plan? And looking back, you're like, dang, we should have gone to.
Yeah, that one was. Yeah, that one was a real stinker. I have some ideas.
I like that you say potentially enter the real world because it really feels that way sometimes. Come back for a third year or I guess a seventh year in my case. So I'm really happy that I went to Mammoth last year. That was really fun. We got some skiing in with the homies. Had a really good time. I regret not going to Cabo.
But that was this year.
Yeah, that was this year. I regret not going to that. It's tough because I work on the weekends. So obviously if I miss a weekend, it's not only, yes, I'm spending money on going to the trip, but I'm also losing a weekend's worth of income, which in my case is...
He's a high roller.
I'm missing a weekend of gambling. So it's doubly impactful on my pocket. So, yeah, I do regret not going to Cabo, but I got my Mexico fix in a couple weeks ago. I went down there for a wedding and a bachelor party back to back, so I got some time down there. Yeah, and then
with none of us present.
Yeah, sorry guys. And then a few of us went to Hawaii for spring break this year. We went to Maui. That was a lot of fun.
Did you go to PV, Puerto Vallarta?
I did not. That was another weekend I was working.
In my eyes, that one could have been skipped.
No.
Not because of the company.
I heard that one was a bit of a you-know-what show.
Yeah, I think that, you know, all-inclusive MBA students, it kind of goes together. I get why people do all-inclusive, but, you know, it was rough for me, at least, the food, beverage situation.
Honestly, I feel like we're at an age where we're sort of past the all-inclusive.
I would agree.
Before you
put words in my mouth here, podfather. No, I would say, yeah, I think I do love an all-you-can-drink situation, but the quality of food, especially when you look at what Cabo was, I would rather and especially when you're in Mexico and you know that there's like local vendors that are going to throw out some delicious tacos for cheap. It's like, yeah, I don't need the Americanized all you can eat. So while the nacho cheese situation is, you know, going to go down in history.
I knew that there was a problem when all of the cheese was a nacho cheese consistency. But David, you seem to like that.
I mean, I threw back some nachos all the same.
That's the other thing is like everything there is so cheap. You know, and like I was in Puerto Vallarta for this wedding and I'm on the roof of our hotel, you know, there's a pool and a bar, and I sat at the bar for hours and I must have had like 10 rum cocktails and it came out to $50.
There you go.
And I was like, that's like 2.5 cocktails in LA, you know?
Yeah. It's like one in Vegas, so get it.
Not if you're gambling, that's free. Kind of.
I do one quick follow up, then I'll pass it back to Hillary. I've heard some pretty epic stories about this Maui trip for spring break. And I would love if you could just share kind of any of your highlights, any kind of classic moments from that trip.
I mean, the whole thing was a highlight, to be honest. It was a real.
I
got there late, yeah. So Hillary and I just barely didn't overlap. Yeah. But I got there. I was there for, three nights. And that was like a perfect amount of time. But the second night we were there, my cousins happened to also be in Maui, staying pretty close where we were. So I went and had dinner with them. And then I met up with the group afterwards and went to dinner again.
Double dinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A classic Wednesday night bang bang. And
this term bang bang.
I know.
You're not familiar with
it's
a bang
the second, bang. It's the second time it's dropped.
And I'm very glad you used it in a sentence this time or with more context, because the first time you're like post club bang bang. I was like,
yeah.
What is
it? No, it's just one meal right after the other. Although Taco Bell, if you recall, a few years ago they had this whole ad campaign that was like the fourth meal.
Oh, the fourth meal. Yeah, yeah, sure. That's
I was like, is that not the most American shit you've ever heard?
Taco Bell just gets me, though.
For when you just want to go face three Crunchwraps at 1 in the morning. Super healthy. So I met up with the rest of the group at this restaurant. And can I say who it was?
Yeah, no, we like to shout out. Yeah.
Our boy Isaac Maycock, he had met this guy at the bar that they were at before the restaurant. And we in the restaurant, and this guy is at the next, same guy is at the next table with his wife and kids. And Isaac just gets a massive kick out of this, and they're like, you know, they're shooting back and forth. And Isaac just decides he's going to send this guy a bottle of wine to the table. So he sends him this like really nice bottle of rosé, and he goes over and he's like, I'm so happy I met you, bro. Like, you know. Basically crying. And the dude's wife is like giving him a thumbs up, like, thanks for the wine, you're the man. And then like 30 minutes later we look over and the guy is just gone. And he had had the bottle and left without saying goodbye or thank you or anything.
That's Ohana for you. That's just the island. That's island time. I actually have another funny story good. From Hawaii. If we're just going to talk about funny things that happen on NBA trips.
Yes.
Same trip. I was staying with my friend Danielle, former guest of the pod.
True.
We were in the hotel room. She asked to borrow my deodorant. I'm like, okay, weird, but you know, for a friend, I'll do it. That was in the hotel room. Hours later, I look, another friend of ours, Chris Jens, is at the table using a Mega Babe deodorant. And I was like, oh my gosh, Chris uses that deodorant too? And then it hits me. Danielle has brought the deodorant to the table and is passing it around.
Puff, puff, pass
on the Mega Babe deodorant. I'm like, that is vile. And Deontay, another friend, was like, you are nasty.
I will say,
oh my god,
I might side with the Danielle and friends in this one. Like, no. I think it's a service to you that they put on that deodorant. Whether your deodorant was tainted, but like, you don't want your friends with BO, you know?
That's
a sacrifice you might have
to
make.
Wow, this is where we...
Of all the ways of looking at that situation, David, that is one of them.
Yeah. That is such a David, outlook. Wow.
Help him out, you know?
No, I'm excited to see what goes down in Vegas this weekend. However, I want to talk about other things in your NBA experience. Not only being Mr. Vegas, he was also one of the Mr. 100 Days, which is something that the second years have a celebration. David, why don't you tell us what it is?
Yeah. As one of the MCs.
The
myself.
Mastermind.
I know, exactly. No, so 100 Days is basically a send-off banquet. It is named 100 Days because it's 100 days till the day we graduate. But the whole point is we kind of get together as just the outgoing, you know, second-year class and talk about some of our highlights, some of our lowlights. We love to kind of have the opportunity to make it a little roasty in there, you know, poke some fun.
I did refer to it as the roast.
It's true. On the walkover, she goes, we got to talk about the roast. And, you know, we like to also be nice.
David quickly corrected me. It was
a roast.
Yeah.
But we would love to know, Owen, from you, I guess, Hillary, I'm stealing your question, I apologize, but give me some of the highlights as, you know, another MC.
How'd you get
there.
Involved?
Yeah. Yeah, so first of all, it was one of the greatest honors of my life to be tapped to do that. I can't remember exactly. I think Jess was on the committee, and she handpicked me to be the other Corsi representative, which, you
big
know,
time.
She said I'm the funniest one, which is not saying very much, but it's still high praise. It was a really fun experience. It was fun working with everybody. I loved working with Jess, writing the jokes. It was a really nice opportunity to kind of reflect on mostly the first year of the program, because we started writing in December of 22, so at the end of this fall semester. And I had realized I hadn't really seen anybody in the core, much less the rest of the cohort, in a really long time. And so it was nice, you know, we asked around, you know, favorite stories, and we basically had a list of everybody in the core. And we went through, and for everybody, we just wrote a little something next to them, you know, funny story, anecdote, something that they're known for, whatever. And then from there, we took it and cut it into a script.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot here, but do any of those jokes translate now to the pod listeners, or do you think they're very situational humor, you know, directed at?
I mean, I don't know who's listening, but
everyone, clearly.
I don't remember.
David had one about me. Do the one that you had about me. The one time I participated.
I gotta be honest.
Oh my God.
I wrote a lot of jokes.
I can go find the script.
Not memorable, I guess. But no, it was a really, really fun night.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy to write jokes about 200 plus people. Yeah. You know,
it's a big undertaking.
You have to comb through all of the potential material, and then, you know, obviously for some people who will remain anonymous, there's like 10 different things you could say.
Sure.
Not Hillary.
Of course not Hillary. There's less than zero. Yeah. But
one forgettable joke.
Yeah. I do feel bad now.
And then you also, there's a line you have to toe because you want everybody to have a good time and you don't want anybody to feel like they're being bullied, you know, because the whole point is it's lighthearted and it's everybody coming together and laughing, and we don't want anybody to feel like, oh, they're picking on me for no reason.
So
that was like a big part of what we put into the script, was making sure it was all, you know, in good fun and something that everybody could laugh about and look back on fondly.
I have to say, definitely, like, I was lucky enough to watch the 100 Days for the class of 22. And so I think we did a very, very good job at towing that line appropriately of we were definitely having fun up there. We were definitely making jokes. But at the same time, I don't think anyone felt A, like, bullied, I think is a good word, and then B, like, yeah, that they weren't able to, like, relate or participate, and I think that was, yeah, not to toot our own horns, but I definitely say, like, Owen, you guys crushed that.
You can toot the horn, man. We crushed it.
You guys are perfect. Really,
we did so good.
No, that was a good event. Okay, I think we should wrap things up. Is there anything else? Any other stories? Any other, you know, takeaways from your MBA experience?
Yeah, I definitely didn't take advantage of the lab enough before.
I don't think a lot of people did.
I know, honestly, look, the lab, I love Rockin' Riley's. I like the vibe in there. I like the Irish pub thing. I like that they got a lot of TVs. And it's kind of a scene, obviously. Every table's always sticky. The floor is always sticky. There's always mysterious wet substance on the floor of the bathroom, like in an airplane.
The men's bathroom is insane.
Oh my god! Yeah,
I swear to God, every time you go in there too, like
one of the urinals does not work.
Flying on top of it, like things are breaking.
And it's also just filled to the brim with urine.
Insane in there. I'm not gonna lie. The Rockin' Riley's
is crazy.
It is wild. In there. They can keep that.
Yeah, they can keep that.
We will ask you your plugs at the end, but we're doing reverse plugs as well. And
like, don't.
Yeah, don'ts. We're saying keep it. They can keep it.
Yeah, Rockin' Riley's can keep the one broken urinal.
Okay, sorry, the lab.
Oh, yeah, the lab is dope. It's right across the street from Marshall. It's a great place to gather. They have pretty good food. Christian, the bartender, is total homie.
He's the man.
Yeah. He's the best.
God, I hope he listens.
This one's for Christian. Yeah, this one's for Christian. They're always out of the beer that I like, which is a kind of a bummer.
What beer is that?
805. They're always out of 805.
Rockin' Riley's always has it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the lab is dope. It's smaller, which is nice.
You know what I like? They also have Truly on tap.
Yeah, they do. I've and you can get it in that of. Huge
yeah.
mug.
Yeah. Awesome.
That is fun. I will say I do. Here's, you know, unsolicited advice to the MBA people, though. Like, feel free to break the Marshall bubble. The lab is dope. It's right there. But also, like, Greenleaf. The first time I went to Greenleaf was this week.
I thought Greenleaf was just a health food spot. Yeah.
No. They got beers and stuff in there, too. It's actually, like, cool. I was like, wow.
Okay, the keto chicken tenders at Greenleaf, slap.
They are kind of good.
We just shared, very romantic. We shared a chopped salad, and it hit.
It was a very good salad.
Yeah, it was really good. You know, I'm sad that we missed out on is Traditions.
I know. Pour one out for...
Nah.
Have you been to Traditions?
Yeah, I went in college. Tradies is a keep.
Keep it.
Tradies you can keep.
Wait, why?
It's underground.
There's an elevator to it.
Yeah, it's underground. It's in... Like, you used to go at night and there would be, like, a DPS guy checking ID at the door, which is just the worst vibe of all time. And, again, underground, there's no windows. It's usually empty. It's just like a very sterile, like when I think of a bar that I like to go hang out and have a drink
it's
at,
not trash.
It's got personality. Yeah, and that place has no personality because they literally built it when they redid that building 15 years ago or whatever. And they were like, let's make a cool bar in the basement of the admissions building.
It is a confusing place to put a bar.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And like, it should be cool. They have like a little music venue in there with a stage. And like, it could have been super cool, but they just kind of fumbled the bag. And
I have to say, it did pique my interest, the elevator down underground. But you know,
I'm not convinced traditions is still around, but maybe it is.
Allegedly. Maybe it is. We'll never know.
Yeah. It's a tradition.
There's no way of knowing. Okay. Yes.
This is yes. Thank you. I'm glad I want. I like asking this question. Yes. So, you know, it's how we like to wrap up our pods, how we like to ask our guests. Really, like, what's on your mind? What would you like to plug? This can be anything. But what gets you excited?
A TV show.
What do you want to watch
I really like The Last of Us. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to watch that and The Mandalorian at the same time because it's Pedro Pascal playing the same character.
Papa.
Just on one of them. You can't see his face.
Is that all you have to plug?
No, I'd like to plug myself. I'm still looking for a job. So if any hiring managers you're listening to this and I haven't scared you off yet, you can find me on LinkedIn.
Well, the urinal talk.
Well, the hiring managers probably know. Like, this guy keeps it real.
Keeps it real. Yeah, where can we find you? What are
you can find me on LinkedIn, Owen-Ritter. My Instagram is owen.fm, but you don't have to look at that.
That's VIP only.
I'm on MySpace. MySpace at OSR69420. Just kidding.
I was waiting, but I was like, honestly, it might be.
I know, actually.
If that is Mr. actually Vegas? There, it's not me. Yeah. It's not me. I'm on Friendster.
What's your middle name? What's the S?
Stand? Scott.
Nice.
Scott.
What's your Marshall
name?
Email? Just in case.
It's.
They actually want to hit you up. Yeah.
oritter@marshall.usc.edu.
Oh, that's a good one. Mine is awful. What you is can it? Keep my.
Is it like Hillar Clar?
No, it's Hillary CL. I'm like, that's so weird.
Hillary Cool.
Hillary Clinton. Yeah.
You wouldn't Allegedly. Even know how many Uber drivers make that joke, but.
Really?
Yeah. Another day.
Well, we all know. Honestly, our next guest should be an Uber driver. They always have. They have some good content to share.
Yeah. Oh, that's the Las Vegas thing. You ever take a cab in Vegas, make sure you ask the cab driver lots of questions because they always have funny things to say.
Are cabs cheaper than Ubers?
It depends. Sometimes they are, yeah. From the airport, I always take a cab.
Good. That's a good tip.
Yeah. And then usually they're quicker just because if you're at a big hotel, they're always waiting outside.
Mm.
But yeah, the cab drivers have really funny stories.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah. We'd love to hear one someday, but we're going this weekend.
Yeah, that's a different story for a different podcast.
We have a lot of things on the After Hours podcast to discuss.
The NBA's After Dark.
Yeah.
NBA's plugged in.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Owen.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. This was fun. It was very fun.
All right, everyone, welcome back. It is that time. I got to ask the question, and now I got to kick it off for your host here. We're here to talk about the plugs.
The plugs.
I got the blood, no middleman. I got the blood, no middleman.
Awesome. So I am actually very excited about my plug. Usually I come in with something silly, something fun, but I actually have kind of a really fun little update for the world. My grandmother has published a book. It is called The Well-Lived Life, a 102-year-old doctor's six secrets to health and happiness at every age. She is,
that is amazing.
A very old woman, but out there kicking it. She is honestly, an inspiration to me, just super.
I love this.
Yeah, impressive.
Wait, is she, has she been an author before, or she was just like, I'm going to do this now?
She has dropped, I think, like 3 books. She definitely was like big in the medicine scene, especially. She was like, she grew up in India because her parents were medical missionaries when India and Pakistan split. And then she came over here and started practicing medicine. Her first business was called The Baby Buggy. She's big on holistic medicine. So she did at-home deliveries. She would like drive up in a little van. And then do like at home birthing.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, she's epic.
What
her name is
cool lady.
Yes, her name is Gladys, which is a great old lady name, Gladys McGarry. And also a fun fact: her maiden name is Taylor, and I am named after that. So my full name is David Taylor McGarry, named after Gladys Taylor McGarry.
And fun fact for the listeners, David went by Taylor until how old?
I officially got traction on my Switch in sophomore year of high school. Stop. But I did try going into freshman year, and then everyone was like, no, you're Taylor. I was like,
they had accents in Arizona. Yeah, no, you're Taylor.
That's what the sixth-grade-year-old Arizona people sound like. No.
You're Taylor. Well, I love that.
Yeah,
wow.
Peep the book.
What an amazing lady. That's so cool. Something I've been wanting to plug, but, you know, now we're here at the end of the year, is actually something. It is a list. It is an Excel document, shared Excel document that Marshall provides. I think you can go to, like, the Marshall website and you type in, like, USC free resources, and there is an Excel sheet of all of the free subscriptions, yes, that we get. No. So I'm to name a few: New York Times, LA Times, HBO Max. There's a Lyft program. There's Spotify discounts. So they're discounts that we get because we're students. And
that's where my tuition goes, probably.
Yeah, no, that's exactly where there's like a Nike discount. There's Metro passes. Yeah, like there's this whole list of things. I have used none of it. The Mindful app. I did
love that.
I did get the Mindful app. We meditate, but it moves into my next why I need to meditate. And we're introducing something now in the pod called Keep It. It's after the podcast, Keep It. I'm sure there's listeners out there, but Keep It is a reverse plug. So something, it's like, you know, you can keep it. I don't want it. And that's aging. Sorry to Gladys. My birthday is this weekend. We're going to Vegas. We're going to be with Owen. We're going to have fun, but you can keep it.
Yeah.
I'm over the hill now. 31.
It's tough.
Not fun.
That is old.
It's not fun.
You should drop a book soon about aging with grace.
Oh, yeah. My back's starting to hurt. So, you know, keep it. Do you have a reverse plug?
I do. And actually, I'm really glad that we started a Keep It bit, because we're technically MBAs unplugged. And I thought it was always a little ironic that we were plugging things. So it's good to go back to our roots and unplug. But yeah, my Keep It, inspired by our conversation about the Rock and Riley's bathroom, is just like gross urinals. As a men, you know, like it's not hard. Urinals should be easy to use. They shouldn't be dirty, and yet they're often just disgusting. So you can keep that. Honestly, it's just not ideal.
Yeah, society can keep it for sure. I mean, I love how some, like, people say, oh, well, the women are just as bad. I don't know. That sounds pretty rank.
It's gross. I will say this. I think at least women are probably less likely to, like, throw their full body weight into the door in between and lead to some minor, you know, demolition in the bathroom. I feel like at least you're, you
That's
know.
That's how you phrase it.
You got a line. Yeah. And I will say, I don't envy the line, but it does feel like you're cleaner just as people.
We're getting unplugged.
This is an unplug.
This is it. Well, if you're still, you know, if you're still around at the end of this podcast, where can people reach us?
Thank God. And honestly, let us know what you would like to unplug. But as always, we can be reached at, you know, the VP community email, which fully is.
Could you remind us of that?
Yes, exactly. mgsa.ft.vpcommunity@marshall.usc.edu.
We'd love to get one email.
You know, we might have got an email. I haven't checked that email.
Oh, that is
just
not
kidding. I'm a hawk on that thing. Hawk. I'm looking for anything pod related.
Yeah.
If you emailed me otherwise, I'm sorry, I may have missed.
Subject title: pod.
Pod.
Rex. Unplugged. Pod. Plug. Anything that'll catch his eye with 2 weeks left. But
yeah, I might not have access to that still. I'll let the new VP communities know. We got listeners coming in with content.
Yeah.
So.
And they got ideas.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining, and we'll talk to you next week.